Today's daf Masechet Megillah, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Chof Chet, and we're holding on Chof Zayin Amud Beis at the beginning of the questions of Arichut Yamim. So we're on the second of the very large lines, and we're at the two dots. Shalut Amidav et Rabbi Zakkai. B'mai Arachta Yamim. So they asked Rabbi Zakkai, what was your secret for having such a long life? Because we understand that there must be a particular nekuda that makes him be zeicha, that he was very careful about, and that care gave him extra. And that extra care gives extra life. So we were talking yesterday about the closing issue. This is the transition to what it is that we're talking about now, because Rabbi Zakkai actually, yes, we were talking about the question of the time or the waiting between urination and davening. And he said to them that what I was specifically makbid on, that miyomai lo ishtanti mayim betoch arba amos shel tefillah, I never urinated within 4 amos of my davening, even though we said before that it's really mutter. V'lo kiniti shem l'chaveri, I never made a nickname for a friend. V'lo bitalti kiddush hayom, and never did I, for any need, was I mevatel making kiddush over wine. I even had an old mother, imazik nahaitali, and she knew what kiddush meant to me. And one time I had no money to buy kiddush, and she went ahead and machra kipasha barosha, she mamish sold the veil that she used to wear to cover her hair so that she wouldn't be able to go outside. Ve'evi'ali kiddush hayom, and she used that money to buy me enough to make kiddush on. Tana, in a bright that says that when Reb Zakkai's mother was nifteret, hinicha lo shalosh meos gar v'yayin, she left him as a Yerusha, because of the schus of that maisa, 300 barrels of wine. That's how big her wine cellar was. So she became very rich. And when Reb Zakkai himself died, hiniach lifanav shloshet alafim gar b'yayin, he left to his family 3,000 barrels of wine, b'schus the hakpada about the wine. All kinds of discussions, by the way, about being mechan Hashem, but we'll speak about it later. Rav Huna, one time, have a aser rita, b'koy kamid rav. So he was wearing this weird thing that was made out of like reeds. And he comes there to Rav, and Rav says, what the heck? Why aren't you dressed? My high. Oh, my lay, I didn't have any money for kiddush. So I went ahead and I pawned my belt. So now this is the only thing that I have to wear. And I use that money for kiddush. So Rav said to him, ah, yei Rava de titum b'shiroi, Hashem should help you that you should be covered over with the most beautiful, expensive material, similar to that silk we saw. Ikalo Rabba Beres. Now, when Rav Huna's son, Rabba, got married, Rav Huna himself was very, very small. He was an Inish Gutza. So he had fallen asleep on a little bed over there at the entrance to the wedding hall. And the women, when they all came in and they're all gaggling together and so on, they take off their coats and their furs and they throw it on the bed. They didn't even notice he was on the bed. And they cover him with these very expensive begonim. So he ended up being itum bishirai. He ended up being covered over with these. I mean, not that that's exactly what Rav meant, but the bottom line is that the bracha found a mokum that it was miskayim. So they took off their fancy coats and so on, v'shadim anayu alei, and they threw it on him until he was completely covered by the shiroi. So because of that, it was wonderful. So it was a real brocha. Shama Rav v'ikpid. So Rav heard about this, and he was very upset because he said, when I gave you that brocha, I was waiting for you to say v'chein lamar. You didn't say v'chein lamar. Look at this. You get all these beautiful brochas. And it's Biskayim. And you could have told me that I should have gotten a bracha too. Again, my Rebbe would point out over here, what was the big deal that it was useful for Rav Huna to be covered over with those people's coats? It wasn't useful. But the point is that if a bracha really is a chalos of a hashpah from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, so then you can end up having that hashpah in ways that are nogeya you and that are much more powerful than the way that the person himself that was the original recipient, because it's just a general hashpah that then makes itself felt for that individual. That's what I wanted to say, V'chein Lamar. There are those who learn that it's talking about over here, that how did Ravuna have such an expensive wedding? Must be that by the time that happened, he had already gotten rich. And so, okay, male, fine. Let's continue. I mean, when you know people say things without clear, any real clear indication. Shalu Talmidav is Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua. So once we already started talking about this inyan of the extra schus of life that a person gets for being makbid on the relationship of Hatolas Mayim to Tefillah, Shalu Talmidav is Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua already want to know how other famous, long-lived Gedolim, what did they do that gave them that schus? Bameha Arachte Yamim. I never took a shortcut through a Beit HaKnesset, which is a pagam in the Beit HaKnesset. That means he didn't do it even in a way that would be mutter. You know, so you can, there are cases where you could do it, but well, there used to be a shvil of the rabbin that was there, and then they built the Beit HaKnesset. And if you sit down in the Beit HaKnesset, I never did that. And if people were sitting on the floor learning and so on, which was the derech, I would never walk by them in order to get to my seat, because it looks like you're stepping over an Am Kodesh, Klal Yisrael. I'm stepping over them. And I never gave the Birchas Kayanim without a bracha. Now, this is very strange. I mean, obviously, I mean, that's a halacha. Every kohen makes a bracha. So what are you saying? That I never, that's my big schus? Obviously, all of these things are extra things that you do. How is that an extra thing? So Rav Moshe has the most amazing pshat in this, which he used to pasken halacha l'maisa, that it must be that what he's referring to is that he was the Shliach Tzibur, Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua. So there's a whole question whether is it considered to be a hefsek in the tefillah to make a Birchas Kayanim. If you're the one that's davening at that time and he's davening for the Tzibur, so then even though he can say the Birchas Kayanim is part of the Brocha of Shalom, that's part of what it is, but shouldn't make a Brocha. He was Koveya to make a Brocha. And because of that, we paskin indeed that you make a bracha if you're the Shliach Tzibur, and that it's not considered to be a hefsek. Okay, very, very, very sweet. Others learned that it used to be that the Godol Shebekayanim would be Mavarech, and other Kayanim would be Yotzei, and he held that Birchas Kayanim was more like Tefillah, and you can't be Motzi other people with Tefillah, unless they're mamish not, they don't know how to daven. Okay. There's other issues as well. I mean, there's some who claim, but I don't know like what it's really based on, that that until his days, they didn't make a bracha on Birchas Kayanim. Why? Because they held that you don't make a bracha on a bracha. For instance, if we say Birkat HaMazon, which is a mitzvah d'oraisa, do we make a bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem, Asher Kedoshanu Mitzvah Tzivonu Levarech Al HaMazon, and then say Birkat HaMazon? We don't. Why don't we? It's Mamash Kiyum of one of the Tariag mitzvahs to be Mavarech, right? So apparently, since the mitzvah itself is a bracha, it doesn't carry a separate bracha in terms of the tzivui of the bracha. So he held that Birkas Kohanim is not the same as the Nusach of bracha, Baruch to Hashem. It's a bracha to Yisrael. And because of that, he was Koveya that at that time that they started, in fact, being Mavarech Birkas HaKohanim. Okay, another possibility. So Shalu Talmidav as Rabbi Preda. Now this is very strange, because to ask Rabbi Preda about Meha Arach Yamim, everybody knows why Rabbi Preda was Barach Yamim, because you remember the famous story. Rabbi Preda lived 400 years. So it turned, as the Gemara explained, that Rabbi Preda used to have this Talmud that it was very, very slow. It was very hard for him to understand. So Rabbi Preda used to explain the sugya to him 400 times. Patiently told him over 400 times until he understood it. One time, he tells him over the sugya 400 times. So at the end, he says, so now you understand? The guy says, no. So Rabbi Preda asked him, well, why today Is it no? And every day when I finished 400 times, you always understand. He says, because I knew you had to go to a bris later, and I was afraid you were going to leave at any minute, and I wasn't going to get my 400 times. I wouldn't understand it, so I was so nervous, I couldn't concentrate. So Rabbi Prater said, okay, let's do it again. And he did it another 400 times. So a Bosco came out and said, okay, we're giving you a choice. Either you can live for 400 years, or you can be Mizaka your entire generation in Olam Haba. He said, I'll be Mizaka the generation. Bosco says, we'll give you both. So anyway, Rabbi Prater lived 400 years. So Tosfos asks, so why are we asking B'mei Harak Yamim? This is like a famous story. Says the Gemara, yeah, I understand, but when he was a kid and he was only 130, they were asking, why is it that he was Marach Yomi? They didn't know that he was going to live a long life like that. So that at that stage, this is what he assumed. He wasn't going to talk about his thing. Anyway, so B'mei Harak Yamim, Amalem Yomai Lo Kadmani Adam Lebet HaMidrash. Nobody ever got before me to the Beis HaMidrash. I was always the first one in. I never said a bracha when there was a Kohen that could make the bracha. Rashi learns this as a reference to Birchas HaMozein. Others learn, like Tosfos and the Rishonim, it's referring to Birchas HaTorah, and it must be referring to those situations in which Lamaisa, all the Kohen, were kof of to him, and so on. And nonetheless, he didn't ever say it in front of a Kohen, even where he was allowed to. And I would not eat from an animal where they hadn't taken off the zroa lechayayim v'keva, even though the halacha is that it's mutter. Because here's the whole issue. The issue was like this. The Omer Rabbi Yitzchak, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, you're not allowed to eat from the behema shlo urmu matnoteha. And Rabbi Yitzchak used to say that kol ochel bebehema shlo urmu matnoteha is ki lo ochel tevorim. It's the same thing as tevel. In the same way that you have to give the matonais, and then you're supposed to eat the part that's yours. So these are also matonais, the zroa lechayayim v'keva. And therefore, it should be osir, like eating tevel. But we don't paskin like that. Let hilchata kavate. It's actually not the same at all. Because over here, I mean, there's a lot of inyanim, what this is nogea, why this is, and the way that tevel works. The tevel is because the truma is essentially a possible truma from every single piece of grain that you have. Is roy to be truma. Mashenkin over here, there's a specific gift. The Zroa Lechayayim V'keva. You can't say that's Psichabe. So, okay, there's others for us, but in any event, it's not our sugya right here. We don't paskin like that. And nonetheless, Rabbi Preda was actually makbid on it. Furthermore, Lo Berachti Lifnei Kohen. What, is that a good thing? To show that a Kohen who's like the Nama Oretz, what, he's more choshev than Rabbi Preda? That's not such a good thing, because Rabbi Yochanan says if a Talmud Chacham allows a Kohen Gadol, even a Kohen Gadol, if he's an Amah Aretz, to say a bracha before him, so then Oto Talmud Chacham Chayav Mita. A Talmud Chacham like that is like Mechalo Shem Shemayim is Chayav Misa. Shenema Kol Misanai Avu Mavet. All those who hate me love death. So what do you mean hate me? Ah, Al Tikri Misanai. Elamasni'ai. Read it as if it says those who cause others to hate me love death. And over here, people seeing such anhaga will say, oh, no, so apparently the Torah is not so choshev. You can have even this total ignoramus, and he's being mevorach before the Gadol Hador. So, you know, it's like one of these tribal kind of things. You know, Kohen has choshevus, Talmud Chacham has choshevus. But it's not that there's a godless in Torah. And therefore, it should have been usher for him to allow it to a Kohen. He was a Kohen Gadol of his Nama Aretz. No, of course, he didn't allow that. When Rabbi Preda said he would never make a bracha before a Kohen, he meant where they were shoving, where the Kohen, and it's supposed to explain, obviously can't mean shoving because then it would be Mitzad Adin. But when the Kohen was a Talmud Chacham, a big Talmud Chacham, but Lamaitse, he was kofuf to Rabbi Preda. So like we learned before, that when you have all the Kohanim are kofuf to a particular Adam Gadol, that over there we don't have the Inyan Mipnei Yitznuyeh. We don't have the argument question. And because of that, we give it the Aliyah. And Rashi learns this is true Lagabi Birkat HaMazon as well. So we give the Aliyah to the Talmud Chacham. He refused to take it, even in that case. Of course, he would be careful not to allow someone who was an Amoretz to go before him, that's for sure. there's a very important diuk over here that I feel that is missed. When the Gemara says over here, "Ko misanai ahavu mavet, al tikri misanai ela masni'ai." What right do we have to do that? Because normally, when you make a drasha, so what you're doing is you're expanding on the concept. But over here, we're limiting the concept. We're saying it's not just that we're talking about haters. We're talking about people who make HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who make them hate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, by being mezalzel in the Torah. So, I mean, that's changing the misanai. What right do you have to do that, Pete? He wasn't any expressing chas v'chalila sina. If it would have been Rav Prado who had done that, that would have been sina. And the person who does allow an amaretz to go before him, I understand he's goyrem sina, but is that the same thing? It must be behechrech that the Gemara is expanding, right? And that's what it means. In other words, this person, he thinks he's doing something right, and he certainly loves HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but we're saying that included in misanai are masni'ai, which must mean that there is an element of sina if out of the way that you act, other people can learn to hate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So then what that means is that even though what you're doing, everything that you do is totally l'shem shamayim, and you know, you believe that this is the right thing to teach. You know, we have to make sure that kids don't learn about evolution or whatever. But the bottom line is that hundreds of thousands of people learn from you to hate Torah. So then the question is, what is that megala? Is that megala something about you, the unwillingness to accept the Bria of HaKadosh Baruch Hu the way it is? Because otherwise, why would it cause people to hate Torah? That's a shocking thing. This, the Gemara, therefore, is very machayev, rethinking certain anagas. Okay, continues on the Gemara. There also is a maisel like this, is by Rebbe Nechoni ben Akana, when they asked Rebbe Nechoni ben Akana, b'meha arachta yami. Omar lehem, miyomai lo nitkabadati b'klon chaveri. I never got honor out of a friend's bizoya. Now, this is a little bit strange because, I mean, that is one of the biggest isurim in the Torah. We say it's that a person should actually be willing to die rather than to, I mean, this was the whole story of Tamar and Yehuda, that in Chas v'Chalila, to bring any kind of shame on someone else, you're supposed to be willing to actually be nisraf, to be burnt alive. So what's he saying? Well, we'll see what he means in the incredible expansion of what he's talking about. I never took the anger that I had, in which I was cursing out people that had treated me wrong, I never took it to bed with me. I was always meichel than before. And vatran b'mamoni ayiti, and I never was makbid with my money. If there was, I left a little bit extra with the chenvani. I never argued about issues of money. So lo nitkabadati b'klon chaveri. It was once a maisa. What did he mean? He meant like this. Rav Huna was walking along, and he was carrying a hoe on his shoulders. So Rav Chana bar Chaniloi came along, and he tries to take the hoe away from him, so that he can carry it. He didn't want Rav Huna to carry the hoe. So Rav Huna said to him, excuse me, Ira gila de darech b'materes. If in your own area you would be doing something like this and carrying an implement on your shoulders, fine, then you can. But if not, I am not interested in being honored through your being degraded. That's not acceptable to me. That's what he meant in Lo nityakarti b'klon chaveri. So somebody wants to show me honor by doing the type of thing that he would never do for himself, then I'm not willing to take. Lo nechali. V'lo al tal mitati ki lalat chaveri. What would that he mean? Ki had marzutra kavi solak lapuria marut. Marzutra had a minig that when he would go to sleep, he would get on his bed, he would say, shori le lecho man detzara. I'm giving up on any kind of tainas to anybody that made us pain today. And that's what Rabbi Nechunya said that he used to do also. And vatran b'momoni hayiti, The Omamar, Iyov was considered to be a Vatran b'mamoni. What's the Vatran b'mamoni, which must be the same thing that is meant by Reb Nechunya? He would always leave a little bit extra for the chenvani, and that way there wouldn't be any chashash that he had taken something that maybe hadn't paid enough, or maybe wait a little bit more. He would always give, keep the change. So he would give a little bit extra. So Rabbi Akiva once asked Rabbi Nechunya HaGadol, and this is, he was like, Rabbi Akiva was a youngster, Rabbi Nechunya HaGadol was Gadol Hador, and he says to him, Bamei Arach Yamim. So these Gavze, who were the watchmen that were surrounding Rabbi Nechunya. I mean the Biryonim, I forgot the word in English. You know, for the guys, the toughies.
Bodyguards.
Huh?
Bodyguards.
No, I'm talking about a slang. Okay, but the mice, they were like bodyguards, yeah?
Bullies?
No. So they
thugs.
Okay, they were like thugs. So anyway, they start beating up Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva runs and climbs up a tree. And so like Yasif HaReisha Tadikla, he was pretty good at trees, if you remember. So Rabbi Akiva shouts down from the tree. He asks Rabbi Nechunya, Rabbi, why does it say in the pasuk keves echad by the tamid? It could have just said keves. Obviously, a keves is echad. So nemar keves, lama nemar echad. So Rabbi Nechunya says to these thugs, oh, let the guy down. He's obviously, he's learning Torah. He must be a Talmud, and he wanted to learn from me. He let him off. Shavku. He's a Tzurban Mirabanan. And then he answered Rabbi Akiva. Echad means miyuchad shebe edro, meaning you're supposed to take the most beautiful one that you have. That's what echad always means. Anyway, now I'll answer your question, because now I see you're a good boy. So let me answer your question. Mama harachti yamim. Miyomai loki balti matanot. I never accepted gifts. Lo amadati al midotai. I never was makpid on my midas that there should be nekama for people who mistreated me. I would never take nekama in any way. And vatran b'mamoni ayiti, and I too was a vatran. Lo kibalti matanos ki oder rebelosa ki avi mishadu lematanos mi ben hesia lo avi shakel. So if they sent him any kind of gifts, they used to send out things to important people, he wouldn't accept it. And when they invited him to one of their fancy banquets where everybody was supposed to go, he wouldn't go. And he would say to them, yeah, I don't understand. You guys don't like me? You want me to die young? People who hate gifts, whether it's in terms of an actual gift or even if it's an invitation to the ball, such a person will live. Obviously, this is considered to be a chassidus, not mi'ikar hadin. We already saw, right? Rabbi Zeira was different. Rabbi Zeira, when they would send him these presents, he wouldn't accept them. But when they invited him to the gala ball at the Beis Hanasi, that he would go to. Because he said, it yakuri demin yakribi. Listen, they're inviting me because they want important people to be there. So I'm doing them a favor. They're not doing me any favors. So because of this, he felt that it was okay. V'lo amadati amidotai, liom arava, like we've had this and pointed out how incredible it is, kol amavir amidotav, mavirin mimeno kol pishav. Someone who does not, oimed, he doesn't ask the Shamayim for that the Shamayim should punish those who mistreated him, he's mavir on kol pishav. And the basic idea, mavir amidotav, he's not makbid. Who does HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgive? Someone who is over al pesha on the pshaim that are done against him. Shaul Rebbe is Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha b'may ha'arach t'yamim. So Rabbi Yeshua says, you don't want me to live? What's your problem? B'may ha'arach t'yamim? Better we don't talk about some things, no? Katz de b'chayai. Amar lo Rebbe, it's Torah. And I need to learn from it. I'm just trying to learn from you. This is not a self-help book. Oh, my Lord, so I'll tell you. Miyomai lo nistakalti bidmut adam rasha. I never looked in the face of a Rosh. The Omer of Yochanan, Asur la'adam li'istakel b'tselem d'mut adam rasha. You're not actually allowed to do it. So, okay, if you're not allowed to do it, it should be Mikra Din. So, I mean, it could be that it's one. I mean, remember, Tosfos talks about this in Chulin, about the issue of how we give a special schus to people who don't do something, which is Osir Mitzad Hadin. So, Tosfos says over there that things that are impossible for most people to keep completely, that that's considered to be a tremendous schus if you were able to be omed on it. So if Rabbi Yochanan means mamish osir, which is difficult to believe, but that's what some of the Achronim say, if he says it's mamish osir, so then that would mean the same thing would be true over here. So osir la'adam li'istakel, where do we see it from? Shenemar lulei pnei Yehoshafat melech Yehuda ninosei im abit elecha ve'im ereka. Because, I mean, Yehoshaphat was going together with Yehoram. And Yehoram was from Ahab's family, was the son of Ahab. So basically, he asks Elisha, and Elisha says, I wouldn't look at a mamzer like you. I'm only here because you have Yehoshaphat Melech Yehuda with you. So just realize that I don't usually talk to people of your ilk. Rabbi Elazar Omer, someone who looks at an Adam Rasha, Einav Kehot. Why? Why did Yitzchak Avinu become blind? Because he used to look at his son, Esav. Because of that, it caused him blindness. Ask the Gemara, but wait a minute. Everybody knows that there was another reason for Yitzchak's blindness. We just had it in the Parshiot. Rabbi Yitzchak, li'olam alti kilalat hediot kala be'inecha. Don't take a curse from just a simple person. Don't think that that's a small issue. Because, you know, Avimelech was Mekalov Sora, and it was Nitkayem Bezara. He said, Hine hulach kisut einayim, where he was hinting, you know, I'm giving you all of this kesev, you know, but it should be a kisut einayim, meaning you deserve blindness. Altekre kisut eleksiyat einayim, because you caused me all of this tzoras by pretending that you're his sister and so on. So you should be blinded too, the same way you blindsided me. That's why Yitzchak became blind. There were two elements. There was the direct contributing factor, and then there was the overall issue. Rav Amar, there's another basis for not looking at an Adam Rasha. Miacha. Se'et p'nei Rasha lotov. To be looking at the face of a Rasha and to be makabel at it is basically not good. And ein lo tov ela ra. It's interesting that the Gemara has in various places is nasan b'einav, right? Nasan b'einav and asa gal shel atzomes, like by Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. So how could he be nosan b'einav if nasan b'einav would mean that he would have to look at him? I mean, obviously there must be something special about nosan b'einav. So I think it's the Mea Shiloach that says this, Pshat, that the idea over there is that there's always something good in every human being. There's something good. So if you absorb that goodness, he's left with nothing. It's Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, because what's the issue over here? That in looking at someone, and this is a very important idea, in looking at someone, you attain a certain level of connectedness to his inner self. We always feel that. You look into someone's eyes and so on. So you have a sense of the person's internal reality. And that's why it's going to be mashpia on you. So if you really are mistakel on an Adam Rasha, so then there's elements that you connect to him, that you come to understand him, and you come to sympathize and empathize and feel along with him. And because of that, that has hashpa on you. And there is no way to avoid that connection. Many people don't realize this. And it's such an expansion of human consciousness that as you walk down a street and see people, you are connecting to those people. And therefore, it's very important to stay away from connections to people that are not good to be connected to. So in the case of Nasan Bo'inav, the idea is to identify, Rav Shimon bar Yochai would identify what it was that was in him for good and would be mechabrit to himself, to be matzil that good from him, leaving him as nothing but a pile of bones because he took all of the good stuff. So now I say gal shalat samais, and the kiyum of the part of him that was good was in the memory of Reb Shimon bar Yochai. B'sha'at p'tirato, anyway, so talking about back to Rebbe and Rebbe Yeshua, so it was time for Rebbe to leave after we had this discussion. So Rebbe says to him, Rebbe, borcheni, give me a brocha. So Rebbe Yeshua gives him a brocha, and he says, you should have a life that's half as long as mine. What kind of brocha is that? I mean, if you're going to give me a brocha, couldn't you give me a brocha that I should have your whole lifetime? L'kulu lo. So he said to him, Omar lo, I didn't understand. You're in a very important position, you know. You're the Rebbe is the one in charge of these, the Nasi, the one in charge of all the Klal Yisrael. So the longer you live, the less opportunity there's going to be for your children to inherit that. So what do you want? You want Prince Harry, or what's the guy's name who never ends up getting one of the British people? Anyway, so what do you want to do? How about Ima Harecha Behima Yeru? You want the ones who come afterwards? What are they supposed to be, farmers? I mean, they're all waiting to inherit your gedula. So why do you want to live so long? Half of my lifetime is good. Amazing. Avua bar'i, uvinyomin bar'i, chadam av, we're talking about looking at people that are Russia. So chadam av, tesili, delo yistakli bekuti. I never looked at a kusi, which could be ovin avidus kechorim, could mean literally the kusi. V'chadam av, tesili, delo avadi shutafut bahadi kuti. I never made any kind of partnership with a goy. This doesn't mean the kind of partnership that obviously as Tosis points out, it can't mean the type of partnership where you could be machshil, if you end up in court, that the guy would have to swear on the Holy Bible, and then he would have to swear in the name of his Avodah Zarah that he's telling the truth. That for sure, that's also, that's the Pasuk in Mishpatim. You have to shame Elohim Acharim L'Hishom Al Picha. But even where it couldn't come to that kind of thing, he would not make any type of shutafut. Shalu Talmidavid Rabbi Zera, Bameha Rakta Yamim, Amarle Miyamai Lohik Parati Betoch Beti. I never showed anger in my home. So the Rambam says you're supposed to show anger in your home. Just show. You don't have to really be angry. But sometimes, I mean, kids need to believe that you're angry. So you look like you're violent. And so, but Lamaisa, obviously, you don't really feel those feelings. You know that they have to sense that what they did was roy for those feelings. So some learned the pshat is, this is nagei what we were talking about on Erev Shabbos, that lo ikpadati betoch beiti means exactly that, in my home, meaning in my inner space, wherever that home was, I was never angry in there. I pretended to be angry. That's the pshat. Velo tzaadati b'fnei misha gadol, and then I never walked in front of anybody that was greater than me. I mean, he was very careful. It shouldn't be in the least bit. And I never thought about Tera in places that are dirty. Now, that lechora is Osir Mitzad Adin, but remember that Rabbi Yochanan actually was Matir if you're only Maharher. So he apparently held of Rabbi Yochanan. V'lo halachti arba amot, v'lo Torah, v'lo tefillin. V'lo yashanti b'beit ha-midrash. I never slept in the Beis HaMidrash. V'lo shenat keva, v'lo shenat arai. So you see from here that l'maisa, for a Talmud Chacham, it's actually mutter to sleep, but only shenat arai. Apparently he was makbid not to sleep at all. Okay, this is actually machlokas haposkim, whether somebody who stays in the Beis HaMidrash all the time, he has a right to sleep even mikvah. So lo shenat kva v'lo shenat arai. I didn't do either. V'lo sasti b'takalat chaveri, and I never was happy when a person that was a rea, when he would make a mistake, and he, in some way, there was no simple meaning. There's no schadenfreude, but that's a little bit problematic because it's not a mida that you'd say is like a, something that is very chashuv. Maybe it's talking about even where it was something that I got something correct out of. But nonetheless, I didn't take any happiness in that situation if it caused someone else to be in any way taken down. Now, here there's a lot. I told you we're going to discuss that in of chanicha. So the question is, I mean, there's a lot of different approaches. There's an interesting Ben Ish Chai who learns that chanichato, it would mean what I give as a nickname, or even what chachinato is what he would take as a nickname. Others learn one is a nickname, like a family nickname that they would give for him that would talk about some element that was not so, no, maybe he was like, had a long nose. They would call him nosy or whatever, you know, so he wouldn't use that. But even a nickname, even a family name, I wouldn't call him by his family name. I would always give him his own personal name. But there's a lot of different approaches. But does this have to mean that there's some element of pagam that's in it, or just in order to show the covet for the individual to call him by his actual name? A lot of the acronyms speak about this on different levels. Okay. Anyway, there is the end of the sugya of the Harichas Yomi. Some of the Balei Kabbalah point out that there are 22 issues that are raised over here of Arichas Yomim, and that those are keneged the Aleph Beis. And they define what the keach of each one of the letters of the Aleph Beis being keneged one of these Arichas Yomim. That's a bit complex. But it's interesting, like how much people are able to suck out from the meaning of a Gemara. And now a word from our sponsor today? Okay. Now a word from our capitan. The ode Omar Rabbi Yehuda. So now what I said before about selling, this was in the first part of the Mishnah that we learned yesterday when we were talking about selling a Beit HaKnesset. Furthermore, Beit HaKnesset Shecharav is also going to retain levels of Kedusha. And because of that, you cannot use it for things that are a violation of its Kedusha. You can't make it into a hesped hall for everybody, for every Tom, Dick, and Harry. Obviously, you would be allowed to use it as an area for a Talmud Chacham and so on, but you don't. It's not made into the hesped place. Ve'en mafshilim betocho chavalim. A very nice usage for a big Beit HaKnesset that's fallen into ruin would be to make, to twist your rope or string in it or tzitzis in it. So for that, you need a long room. You pull the ropes and you twist them on this machine. Used to have a guy like that in Me'er Sha'arim where everybody was mocked to buy the tzitzis that were done. The twisting was done. B'yad, l'shma, that was the chumrah. So he had this big, very long, empty room that basement in Meir Sharon, used to go in there in order to buy your tzitzis. And he had this machine that he would twirl the tzitzis around, coming all the way from the other side of the room until they became tight. Valas, I don't know if you remember, you met him, you saw Valas? Mo Willie saw Valas, okay. Anyway, so you can't do that in the churva. You can't put traps there for animals. You can't use the roof for drying out your teinim. You're still not allowed to cut through it to use as a shortcut, as if it was a Beit HaKnesset that is functional. I will make your batei mikdash desolate. Well, if they're desolate, then l'chor, they're not Mikdash Shechem, right? Wrong. You see that they're still Mikdash Shechem. So that Kedushatan Av Kishen Shamanim is retained. Alubo Asabim. And if any kind of grass grows in it, you're not allowed to take it out because you want people to feel the pain and how it is. Look what happened to our shul. And then there'll be mispala that they should be zoche to rebuild. Tana Rabbanan. But they can ask you, they know again, then kalut rosh. You're not allowed to act with any type of Kalut Rosh Chodesh, and I don't know exactly how you would explain Kalut Rosh, but a lack of seriousness. So to have the type of conversations and so on, just idle talk. Ein ochlim b'hem, ein shotim b'hem, don't drink, eat. Ein neotim b'hem, don't shave in there, dress up in there. Ein metailim b'hem, you don't walk around. You can't go in to protect yourself from the sun in the summer or from the rains in the winter. And you don't give a normal person that's called Yochid because you don't have the whole Sibur coming, but you're allowed to learn in them, Korin Behem, and read from Tanakh. You're allowed to learn Mishnayos in them, and you're allowed to be Masbid HaHesped Shel Rabbi, where everybody is going to be coming to Omer of Yehuda. When do we say all of these things? We'll see exactly what he's referring to. That's where they're still being used, b'yishuvam. They're still being used as a shul. Ava b'churbanam, more than that, b'churbanam, you dafka should leave them and allow the plants and weeds to grow in them. Menichinotam v'olim b'masavim. V'lo yitlosh b'pnei agmat nefesh. We want people to feel pain. What is Rabbi Yehuda saying? We never say. We weren't talking about weeds. Who was talking about weeds? Asavim, mandal chashmai. What do you mean more than that? The Tanakhama didn't discuss anything about weeds. So what is Rabbi Yehuda now saying? Well, you should know that's only, what's only? There's obviously something missing because it doesn't make sense. So it was missing in the Tanakhama, mechabdim otam, that we have to sweep the floors, marbit simotam, and we spray water there in order to any dust that's there should be stuck between the floors, the rocks. And we make sure that we don't allow weeds to grow up between the stones. Reb Yehuda, now wait a minute. That's not always true. When do we do that kind of thing? That's only be yishuvan, abachurbanan. On the contrary, let them get overgrown with weeds. Let them look painfully desolate. And menichinotem lalot. And you're not allowed to pick them even. Alubem asavim lo yitlosh mibnei ogmat nefesh. Amrevasi. But a kinesiyot shebabavel al tnai hein asuyim. As we saw, that we make a tnai on the Beit HaKnesset, according to Rashi. What it's talking about is that if the Beit HaKnesset is no longer in use, so then it should lose its Kedusha. Because anyway, it's all temporary. What is a shul in Borough Park? How long is it there for? A couple of years. So because of that, that's why it's Dafkin Bavel, by the way. I mean, it's Dafkin Chutzlart. You cannot make a tnai on the Beit HaKnesset in Eretz Yisrael, because that's there forever. So that even if Chas V'Shalom, something happens to it, it's going to be rebuilt. Masha Ein Kein, in places where Jews are just temporarily forced to be, there you can make such a tnai. The Aval Pike, even though we make that tnai, you should still be careful how you act. Ein Noagin Bem Kalus Rosh, you should not do things that are considered to be Kalus Rosh. So what kind of Kalus Rosh? What we mean is even Cheshbonot. So in other words, even though you're doing something you wouldn't call that Kalus Rosh, but Benogea, the way in which we're defining this place to be and making that a place for doing all of our, depends what how you learn it. Some learn that it's referring to all of the community affairs, Cheshbonot. So we go over all the things in the community affairs. We talk about who's paid taxes and stuff like that. That's misusing the tzibur element of the Beit HaKnesset. So therefore, even though you wouldn't think that, I mean, that's not called Kalus Rosh. I mean, I'm not sitting there drinking beer, but it's as a definition of the Beit HaKnesset, it's a greater Kalus Rosh. Omer Avasi, you should know that when they do that kind of thing, a Beit HaKnesset, shemechashvim bo cheshbonot, melinim bo etamit, they're going to end up keeping a dead body there overnight. What? It's not enough. I mean, that somebody died. I mean, what are we saying? That keeping him in the Beit HaKnesset overnight, I mean, that doesn't make any sense. No, it means, so in other words, if we're talking about over here that you're using your Beit HaKnesset as a place where you do community needs, So if there's chas v'shalom, somebody dies, it doesn't have anybody to be covering them. There's no family living in town. So, okay, so community needs include, you know, making your Beit HaKnesset into a morgue. I mean, so now you're going to have to wait until you see if you can identify family. And if not, the tzibur is going to have to go and they're going to have to take care of the levaya. So that's what's going to happen because the Beit HaKnesset has changed its entire characteristics in your town. The ein neotin behem, Omar Rava, but chachamim v'talmidehem are mutarim. The Omer of Yeshua ben Levi, why do we call a Beis HaMedrash? The popular term for Beis HaMedrash is the Beir Rabbanan. What's it's called Beir Rabbanan? Because it's a Beit of the Rabbanan. It's their home. Because since that's where they live all the time, so this is a place where they're constantly there. If you have to, they have to go home in order to do things that other people need to do at home, then they're going to end up wasting a tremendous amount of time. So we allow them to do those things in the Beit HaRabbanan. Big machlokas in about if they're learning in a Beit HaKnesset, or if, Kamo Hayom, where they make minyanim in the Beis HaMedrash, does this apply only where it's specifically a Beis HaMedrash and not a Beit HaKnesset? Or, as many of the poskim are matir, if it's Be'ikar, a place where Talmidei Chachamim stay all the time and they will learn there, so then even if they're mispalel in that place, or even if that place, according to some, is mamash Beit HaKnesset, that's allowing itself to be used as a kelel, it's also considered to be mutter for the Rabbana. Like once Ravina Ravana Bar Masna were standing outside, and they were asking Rava Shaila, and they were talking, and all of a sudden this storm breaks with this massive rainfall, and they went into the shul. So they shouldn't be soaking wet. But what they said was, we're only going into the shul, not because we don't want to get wet. We're going in mishum de shmaitata baitziluta kiyuma de istana. In order to get to the bottom of a sugya, you need to have the kind of clarity that you have on a day where the sky is completely clear, the sun is shining, and you feel that sense of menucha in your brain to be able to think things out. Note the relationship of tziluta to tziluta. Tziluta is this clarity, and tziluta is tefillah. And the Beit HaKnesset is a Beit Tziluta. We're going in for tziluta. Even though Lamaisa, Lechora, they were allowed to go in anyway because they were Talmidei Chachamim. Okay, this is all a question. Does this indicate that if it was a Beit HaKnesset, they're not allowed to? Or were they being machmir on themselves? What about, I mean, you're making things very tough. Because suppose you got to go into a shul and you have to tell somebody that his wife is outside and wants to talk to him. So can you go in and call him? Or you're not allowed to go into the shul? I mean, can you just walk in for that? So, what should you do? Omar Lei, Rav Ashi said to him, look, it's true that this would be a shaila, because as we just saw, you can't go into the shul because it's raining. So why should you be able to go into the shul in order to contact somebody? So what you would have to do, says Rav Ashi, is if you're at Tzur B'Mirabbanan, so then you should go and say over halacha in the shul so that you're utilizing the shul for limud Torah as you're going to call the guy. If you're a Tana and you only know how to say over Mishnayos and so on, fine, just say over Mishnah. The Ikara, who if all you know is how to read the Parshas HaShavua, say a pasuk. If you can't even do that, so ask a kid in the shul, tell me what you're learning. If you don't even have that, so then you should sit down a little bit and meditate. So nishe purta, and then get up. And that way you're showing kavod for the Beit HaKnesset, and then you can go call the guy out. What is called a hesped shel rabim? So Rav Chista said, a hesped shel rabim would be a hesped where Rav Sheshes would come and attend the hesped. What he really means is that someone who in his family would be nifter, you know, want to say. So he said that kind of thing would get the whole town here. So that's the koi bei Rav Sheshes. Koi bei Rav Sheshes means that it's mamish in the household of Rav Sheshes. The Okay, there are other gersos that Reb Sheshes was personally present. Machli Reb Sheshes, Reb Sheshes, no, I think it would be better to take an example, a hesped in Reb Chishna's house, not my house. Anyway, Raphram, he made a hesped for his daughter-in-law who had died in the Beit HaKnesset. Why? I mean, she's not like a famous figure, because he said, look, Mishum Yikora Didi V'demeita, in my honor, and of course, in the honor of the Nifteret, everybody will come. Rabbi Zera was Maspid, Omir Rabbanim Bebe Knishta. So a certain Talmud Chochem died. It wasn't like a big God of the people, but he said, since I'm giving the Hesped, people are going to show up. So Imishum Yikora Didi, he didn't want to say, they're only going to show up for me. Imishum Yikora Didi, V'demeita. Everybody's going to come here, and therefore it's considered to be of the rabbi. Reish Lakish once gave a hesped on a Talmud Chacham who used to go often to Eretz Yisrael, and Reish Lakish said a tremendous hesped about him. He was Havitani Yochata Be'esrim Ve'arba Shurasa. He used to give a shir in Mishnayos, and he would say it over to 24 rows of Talmidim. And what Reish Lakish said about him is Vai Chosra Arad Yisrael Gavra Rabbas. Even though he wasn't a permanent Torshav in Eretz Yisrael, and Reish Lakish generally did not relate to people who hadn't made Aliyah, he said, person like this, it's terrible loss for Eretz Yisrael, someone who would teach so many Talmidim. Now, there was somebody who was Nifter, who was Toni Hilchata Sifra, Sifri, Tosefta. I mean, this guy was a tremendous bookie, and he knew the whole Sifra and Sifri and Tosefta would teach also. Toni, according to most, means that he taught, and he died. So they came to Reb Nachman, who was in Bovel, and they said, this guy died, please could you give a hesped? So he said, well, how exactly am I supposed to be maspid a guy like that? I mean, what I should say, Vey, we just lost our Bar Ilan program. Oy, vey, we should all go into... I understand. So the guy knows the Sifra, Sifra, so does my computer. I mean, how do you say a hesped on a computer? So what should I say? Hide son of the Bale Sifra, so what, we lost a basketful of Sforim. You know, the Sifra, Sifra, the guy doesn't know how to think. He never came to learn by me. I don't know that he knows anything about his learning. So he knows how to repeat things. I'm not going to give a hesped on that. Now look at the difference between, there's nobody tougher in the whole Eretz Yisrael than Reish Lakish, right? I mean, Reish Lakish, he wouldn't shake your hand, wouldn't talk to you unless you were so trustworthy that they could give you $1 million without aiding him and so on, right? And look how he talks about the loss of a Pashat at Talmud Chacham. And Reb Nachman, who's known to be a great Chassid, is from the biggest Chassidim in Bavel. And look how he talks. That's the difference between the sensitivity of Eretz Yisrael and the big Hasidus of Bava. Tana Rabbanan. So we know that we have in Avos, it says, Dishtamesh betaga chalof. Somebody who uses this Keser Torah is going to end up taking himself out of the world. Tani Reish Lakish, you know what that means? Somebody who makes use and he takes the shimush of somebody who was Shoyna Halachais, that's called the Kisra Shel Torah. So this is a person, he knows halachas psukas. That's all that he knows. That's also considered the Kisra Shel Torah, which is consistent with what Reish Lakish said about that Talmud Chacham. And Ula said, listen, if Lamaisa, you're going to be mikabel from Talmidim, you're going to be accepting shimush, better to use the shimush of a Talmud that knows four of the Siddurim and not for somebody who actually teaches the four Siddurim. Ki Yohad Reish Lakish, Havayazubu Urkav. Reish Lakish is once traveling. He comes to Urkav Adamaya. Here we are again, back at the beginning of the Masechet. Anyway, he comes to the Urkav Adamaya. So he comes to Shushan's Urkav Adamaya, obviously. Anyway, he had to get across this pool, and he couldn't cross it. So a guy comes along, and he puts Reish Lakish on his shoulders, and he's carrying him across the Urkav Adamaya. So Reish Lakish says to him, let me ask you something. Did you ever learn Tanakh? Yeah, he says, I did. Did you ever, Tanita, you ever learned any Mishnayos? Yeah, he said, I finished four whole Siddurim of Mishnah. So Reish Lakish says, oh my God, Pasalt lecha arba turei v'ta'ant par lakisha katrich. I can't believe it. You have made for yourself four giant mountains that you hewed out of the ground, and you're carrying Reish Lakish. I mean, man, he's a nobody. Throw him into the water right away. So the guy says to him, no, I'm very happy. I want to do something for you. I mean, nechali deshamina lamara. I mean, this will make me like your Talmud. I should be mishamish you. I'm so grateful. So Reish Lakish said to him, if so, then you have to learn something from me. So I'll teach you something. Iachi gemor mini amils. The Omer Rabbi Zera, benos Yisrael, hein hichmiru al atzmam, shafilu ro'ot tam, dam, kitipata chardal, yoshvei solav shiva nekiyan. And this is the Tana Devei Eliyahu, kol ha'shena halachot, just a halacha. It has no particular time. Why did he tell this particular halacha? Because it says, al tirgizu b'darach. So you have to be careful not to get involved in any kind of discussion if he's going to tell him something. But wait a minute, so we have a kasha, who knows what's going to happen? Maybe a crocodile will come and eat them up. They won't even notice. So because of that, al tirgizu b'darach. So he told him, halacha p'suka. The Gemara says elsewhere. So what's halacha p'suka? Is this halacha? Because it has no time in it. It's the bottom line is, this is the way Benos Yisrael when they accepted this thing, that they're going to be makpid on any tipas dam to keep Shivas Nakim as if they're Zava, because it's so difficult to keep track of whether you're in the Yudal of Yom, Shebein Nida Lanida, there's so many different shitas, they just decide the heck with it. We'll just be makpid afilo tipas dam kechard. On this Tanit Ve'el Yom, even if it's just saying over, kol ha'shena halacha, is everybody that is an actual Shona halacha, muftach lo, shubeno lamaba. But they point out that halichot means halichot. So in other words, it has to be something that is, you're increasing your walking and you know how it is to go, where they're not just saying over the same thing and never learning more and never expanding. Like we talked about the idea of Gidol also is in the same issue. Okay, Rabotai, wonderful. We should all be zeicha to Arichas Yomim. And to these wonderful Hamhagas, we should be able, each one according to what they particularly need, to be able to adopt as much as possible of the Midas HaChasidus that we can see in the Gemara. Lulmoid Anitzarech, as was the excuse. Okay, Rabbosai, good to see you all. Wonderful to see you all. Looking forward for another day, Bezrat Hashem, to be Zarecha tomorrow to see you all. Meanwhile, remember, today may be the day. Certainly hope that this is Hashia Samecha, Vorech Esnachal Asechor, Imen Asim Ado Olam. Kol Tuv, Leitra Ot.
Rebbe, if I recall correctly, Rebbe Ruderman Zatzal said, since there's three shitas of the Lacha Psuka, you can't use that either, because you're stuck thinking about which one.
Very sweet. It's actually a whole discussion here in Tesis about what would be the point of being Makbir on Tipas Dam, if the only way that you could be Bukhiyam and Shivas Nakiyam would be, you would have to be over 3 days, because by a woman, it's the get 3 days. So, I mean, why would one Tipas Dam Bechlam be? I mean, it's a discussion. Could be that it would be, she got confused and had been Raya 2 days before, but she thought that was part of her Nidas. Now she's making a mistake and actually was part of the Zivas. So this is the third day of the Zivas. Anyway, there's always ways in which it's possible that it could come out that she made an error. So yeah, even here, if you want to start talking about the Tesis, then it's also dangerous.